Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Midweek in Mayfair. We'll make a start. Well done for managing to find a little bit of precious time away from the office. It's great, isn't it, to get together, to hear what God has to say to us in His Word, to have the opportunity to think about how our Christian faith applies to our work, what we're doing day by day in the office, or perhaps you're just looking in at things. And you're wanting to know, what is it that Christians believe? How is it that Christians connect their faith with their work? Well, you're in the right place to do that here at Midweek in May. But I'm going to pray now and then read this passage before Matt comes and explains it to us. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you that you're a speaking God. We thank you that your word has much to say to us for life in London today. And we pray now that as we look at these words, you would help us to understand what they mean and how we should respond to them. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, Be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart.
Nothing is more important, according to Jesus, than forgiveness. And nothing's more important than forgiveness. It is, I think, an extraordinary story. A mixture, really, of wonderful forgiveness and fearful warning. So it starts well, goes wrong, ends terribly. It's not really the way you want to tell a story at lunchtime or at any time. But it is a slightly fearful ending upon which Jesus lands. Now, the striking thing about it is he's speaking to believers. Now, forgiveness raises all sorts of issues. Talk about them later if you want. But here, in this particular case, Jesus is talking to believers, forgiving other believers. We'll see in a moment, that's where we're coming from, or Jesus is coming from in this account. So nothing is more important than forgiveness, because it is right at the heart of the Christian faith and Christian living. And most of us will kind of know that intuitively, if we're Christian, or even if we're not, we know forgiveness, that's a good thing, we kind of get that. But the forgiveness Jesus is talking of here, it is costly. And he's suggesting you just won't pay that cost unless you're a Christian. Let's look at some of the details. Verse 21, Peter comes to Jesus and said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? I think here the assumption is that there's repentance. So if someone comes, someone, a Christian you know, makes a mistake, does something, sins against you, says, oh, I'm sorry, and you forgive them. And they do it again, oh, I'm sorry, and you forgive them. How many times do you go on with that before you say, oh, forgiveness, I get lost. I've had it. I've had it with you. How many times do you forgive someone? Well, the standard view amongst rabbis of the time was three times. That was appropriate. You forgive someone three times, then you say, enough's enough. So I think Peter here is coming on and he's slightly showing off.
because he knows the rules of the day. So he sidles up to Jesus and says, yeah, that's some good words you said there, Jesus. Let me just slowly ask you a question. How many times should I forgive my brother or sister? Should it be seven times? Because I've kind of got this sort of forgiveness thing. Seven times? How about that then? Not just the three that the rabbis say. Seven times? Does that work for you, Jesus? 77 times. Oh. As a bit slightly British bubble, I think, at that point. Oh. That's a bit more challenging. Now, 77 is not just a random number. It's not just Jesus loves his 11 times table and goes for that. It's, in the Bible, it's a number which signifies essentially vengeance. So all the way back at the beginning of Genesis, you had this wicked man in Genesis 4, Lamech. He's a nasty bruiser, a nasty piece of work. And Lamech in Genesis 4:23 says to his wives, listen to what I say. A young man struck me, so I killed him. Because Lamech's revenge is 77-fold. And that's the sort of man I am. He's a bit of a bruiser. It's mafioso type logic. You touch me, I kill you. I kill your mother, I kill your mother's mother, and your mother's 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 mother. It's that's the sort of man I am. You touch me, you know, a bloke bumped into me in the tube, so I killed him.
Alright.
Wives, multiple, I mean, you can say the sort of, you know, not a nice man. It's a number of vengeance. Why does Jesus pick upon that? 77 times. Because Lamech's boast to his wives is one of, well, I think it is one of both vengeance and self-protection. I've been hurt, and I'm not going to give you the chance to hurt me again. And in fact, I'm going to retaliate disproportionately against you. And forgiveness is the complete opposite of that. Now, scale it down a bit. Not many of us, hopefully, are murderers with multiple wives here in the room. But you scale it right back a bit, and someone does offend you. You know, significantly. In the office. Someone is just blatantly rude or demeans you, and you're offended. Now you could forgive them, or you could take the route of self-protection and revenge. Self-protection, I won't forgive you, and I'm just going to clam up, and I'm not going to spend any time with you, open up at all to you, even to, you know, I'm going to avoid you. I'm going to protect myself by avoiding you completely. And commonly the route of revenge. Not to kill, of course, but to slander. So, Mary, in the office, for some reason, causes you great hurt, pain. You're offended, demeaned by her. You take vengeance. You don't forgive, but you just tell everyone how awful Mary is. Do you know how bad Mary is? Lots of people have found that she's offensive in the language she uses. Lots of people have found her untrustworthy. So you just take revenge against Mary. And Jesus says, No, let's take that number 77 and recast it. Not disproportional vengeance, but a disproportionate forgiveness is what I'm asking of you, Peter. We don't get it actually expressed out loud, but you can imagine Peter, you know, Jesus says 77 times in verse 22, you can imagine Peter saying, oh, golly, that's hard work. Just to keep going back to someone who lets you down and saying, I forgive you, have another go. I forgive you, have another go. That's hard work. How do you do that? Jesus says, well, here's how you do it. Verse 23, therefore. So he makes an obvious connection between forgiveness and the story he's telling. I think the story breaks down like this. Let's punch through the three little elements. Three things. Outrageous forgiveness pays a vast debt. A lack of forgiveness will demand payment from others. And then a lack of forgiveness brings a frightful fate. Let's punch through. First then, verses 23 to 27. Outrageous forgiveness pays a vast debt. Verse 23. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents, literally is what it is, was brought to him. 10,000 talents. Now, how much is that? It's a lot. Let me just explain biblically how much it is. 10,000 talents. One talent is 6,000 denarii in the denomination of the currency of the day.
How much is a denarii? Okay, let me perform some maths before your very eyes. Later on, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20, one denarius is a day's wage for a labourer. $6,000 denarii, then, that's 20 years' wages. Let's call that, you know, a year's wage for a labourer. Let's call it £25,000. So one talent, $6,000 denarii, that's £500,000. And Jesus is saying 10,000 talents. Is that £5 billion? So when he says, oh man, you know, a man owed him a lot of money, a few bags of gold. He's saying a man owed him in today's money £5 billion. That's a big number. I looked it up. That is the GDP of the Bahamas, if you wanted to know. That is a big number. But I'm not even sure that's the point. Because 10,000, as written here, that's the largest way, that's the largest number you can write as a word in Greek. So it is the sort of equivalent in English to saying he owed him trillions. Or I even hear there's a word now that people use, gazillions. He owed him 10,000 gazillion pounds. Jesus' point is, ridiculous amount of money. Okay, but let's just keep it even vaguely tangible. £5 billion. That's a big debt. What's the servant been doing? Who can tell? Okay, now what happens then? £5 billion is the debt. The servant owes the master. Verse 25, since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. I don't think the master is being angry or outrageous at this point. I think he's trying to demonstrate to the servant, you owe me quite a lot of money. Because the servant doesn't seem to get that. Verse 26. The servant fell on his knees, begging, be patient with me, I'll pay back everything. You are joking, aren't you? You owe me £5 billion and you're a pizza delivery boy. You're not paying me back that sort of debt in a hurry. This is a ridiculously large debt. You cannot pay it. And yet, verse 27, despite that, the master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, let him go. Wonderful. Now, that is outrageous mercy. No one, I don't care how wealthy you are, writes off £5 billion without it hurting. The rich list came out again. There's lots of people in the rich list. But Roman Abramovich is kind of a well-known name. He's worth just over £9 billion. If one of his staff had somehow accumulated £5 billion worth of debt against Roman and he just wrote it off, that would make the papers. Golly, how ridiculously wealthy is this man and bizarrely kind. That would... No one writes off £5 billion without it hurting. But he does. This king, this master, is sensationally kind, compassionate, generous. What's Jesus' point? Well, let's just amplify the story a little bit beyond what Jesus says so we really get it. Outrageous forgiveness. So what are the details that Jesus doesn't tell you? Actually, this servant was found as a baby, 6 months old. The king was going for a ride one day through the woods and found this baby and took the baby into his home and raised him as his own child and fed him and clothed him and educated him with the very best that the king could offer. The child grew up to be a man. Wasn't the brightest, but, you know, the king, he's the king, so he can pull a few strings and people do as they're told. And so he got the man a job working for him. Now again, the man wasn't the brightest, and soon he got himself into trouble. People recognised he was a man with access to money, and therefore they chose him as a gambling partner. Because he wasn't the best, so he lost money. Gambling. But he was okay for a while, because he had access to the king's account, so he could just hive off a little bit. And the king's so wealthy he didn't notice. And hive off a bit more, and hive off a bit more, but he kept losing and doubling up and doubling up. And he owed a fortune. And one night he's there, looking at the ledgers, realising it's £5 billion now. The king is going to notice this. So he takes a bottle of pills, opens the bottle,
and throws down a load of sleeping tablets and thinks, well, that's it, good night, world. It just so happens, the king wanders past, sees this man at the desk, sees the bottle open, realises what's taken place, drags him to the loo, where makes him reproduce what he's swallowed, puts him to bed, goes to the ledgers, and writes across the ledgers, debt paid by the king. And wakes up and thinks, golly, this king has given me everything since I was born. I've abused his kindness, and still he pays. And that, of course, is the biblical message of how you and I treat God. He gives us everything. Everything we've had since birth. Yes, I know, we've had parents and we've had education, etc., but they all come under the providence of a good God who rules over this world. He's given us everything we have, life in this world. And yet we just take it for granted. We're a little bit silly. We abuse his kindness. But in the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross, he pays the debt that we owe him. We don't deserve it. He is extravagantly kind. And that is what Jesus is saying here. We are given everything by the King of the universe. We owe a moral debt we cannot pay. And yet he pays it. You and I could labour the rest of our lives. We would never pay off the moral debt of billions which we owe to the living God. But outrageous forgiveness, it pays a vast debt. That's the good bit of the story, isn't it? Then it goes slightly wrong. Two other things. The first, a lack of forgiveness demands payment from others, verses 28 to 30. Well, let's have a look at this then. But the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. Grabbed him, began to choke him, pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees, begged him, be patient with me, I'll pay it back. He refused. Had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. Now do notice what Jesus is saying here. The language is precisely the same. So the forgiven servant, what did he do? Verse 26, he fell on his knees, he begged, be patient, I'll pay back. Then he goes and grabs one of his other servants, who... Verse 28, falls to his knees. He begs, promises to pay back. Verse 29, rather, fell to his knees, begs, be patient, I'll pay it back. Precisely the... So this servant who's been forgiven a vast debt hears the precise same words that he had offered and yet doesn't join up the dots at all. He demands payment. Now it's worth it saying it. The 100 silver coins, again, it is 100 denarii. It's actually what the Bible said, the Greek says. So 100 denarii, remember our magic maths, one denarii is a day's wage for a labourer. So 100 denarii, a third of a year's wage, let's call it £8,000. So he's owed £8,000. To most of us here, that's a significant sum. Not many of us throw away £8,000. And I'm grateful that Jesus makes it a significant sort of sum. Because he is saying, do you know what, to forgive someone, it does hurt. It costs you. Forgiveness is not just, yeah, don't worry about it. Forgiveness often is, do I want to write a cheque for £8,000? Not sure I do. It's a cost. Jesus is saying, oh yeah, it hurts. It'll cost you. It costs when someone wrongs you. Forgiveness is not easy. But the question thrown up is, how can it be that having been let off £5 billion, he chokes someone to get £8,000? Everything. If I could pour piles of gold in front of your eyes, £5 billion, just imagine it. It's a big pile of £1 coins. £8,000. Not so big. How, if you've forgiven that, can you demand ruthlessly that? Something's just a bit odd about that. And Jesus' answer is, this aggressive servant, he never knew what it was to be forgiven. Just didn't get it. So a lack of forgiveness demands payment from others. But then final thing, A lack of forgiveness brings a frightful fate. Verse 31. And the other servants saw what had happened. They were outraged, went and told their master everything that had happened. But here's the key diagnosis. Verse 32. The master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? You've behaved as if you were just entitled to my forgiveness. You don't get mercy at all, do you? Despite my generosity to you, what did you think? That I owed that to you? That it wasn't a big deal for me to write off 5 billion? What are you doing that you can throttle this man when I've let you off so much? You just don't get what forgiveness is. You don't get mercy." And so I guess this inability to forgive, says Jesus, it flows out of, well, I don't know, a number of possible mistakes. "You've simply forgotten who the king is," would be one. "But I refuse to forgive. I act as if I'm king. I forget my place in the story. I think I'm in charge. I can do what I want. If I remember that Jesus is king, he has forgiven me a vast debt, it kind of relocates me in the story. Okay, what about others around me who owe debts? I can forgive them as well. Puts me in the right place. So don't forget who's the king. And don't focus on the wrong debt. When we can't forgive someone, which pile of coins are we looking at? The small one over here that we're owed, or the vast one over here that we owe? Which, if we can't forgive someone, we're looking at the wrong pile. Just forgetting that we've been forgiven. Or another way of putting it, you've never understood. You've just never understood the size of what you owed the living God. You never understood how awful it is to reject him, assume upon his kindness. You've never really understood the fact that you owe trillions. The ultimate sense of Jesus' words is, I guess, this. An inability to forgive suggests you've never accepted that you need forgiveness from him. Very sober. So verse 34. In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed, which he'll never be able to do. And that, says Jesus, is a description of eternity, verse 35. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Let's just be clear on one thing. This is not a precondition to being forgiven by God. It's a postcondition. If you have been forgiven, you've trusted in Jesus Christ, this will be, you'll know this is right. I'm not saying it's instinctive or easy, says Jesus. We all have that moment of, oh, I don't want to write a cheque for £8,000. I don't want to forgive them. Yeah, of course, we sit. But you will do it, he says. It's a post-condition, not a pre-condition to being a Christian. That's the ultimate sense. But then more mildly, if you're a Christian struggling to forgive, I don't know what the issue is, you're struggling to forgive another Christian, that's what he's talking about here, then you just need to reconsider what you owe the living God. When you consider how you've been treated with mercy, when you've been forgiven a vast debt, it liberates you, it reminds you, it enables you, it motivates you to forgive what others have done against you. When we dwell on our own sin before the Lord, it enables us to be indulgent with the sins of others. When we dwell upon the Lord's magnificent forgiveness in sending Jesus Christ to die for us, it enables us to be mildly forgiving, less magnificently, but to forgive those and the crimes of others. So which pile of coins do we look at? It makes all the difference in the world. That's true forgiveness, says Jesus. It'll come from knowing you've been forgiven. No other way. Let me lead us in a prayer. Father, you know our hearts, you know the hearts of all of us here today, and where we're struggling with this,
perhaps as an issue, or it's very familiar to us, but either way, would you give us a sense of our debt towards you? Would you remind us of quite how much we owed you, and therefore your generosity in not paying trillions, not paying a £5 billion, but paying an eternal death that we would pay in the Lord Jesus Christ, him paying that for us? And would that knowledge perhaps strike us for the first time, or reawaken within us the ability to forgive others, knowing how wonderfully we've been forgiven? We pray it in his name. Amen.